Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell and Tiger Woods out there this morning. Dell, I've never seen Dell this excited about anything, if you want to know the truth. He has been all morning long, Tiger.
That's all he's talking about.
That's it. That's the only, it's like, holy crap, Dell, give it up. All right? It has been.
He's a Jeff Neiman guy.
John's been screaming Tiger since entered the building.
Joaquin? Oh, same thing, Jeff Joaquin.
Whatever.
Jeff is the English version of Joaquin.
John, no, it's not.
No, it's not. John's been screaming Tiger since I entered the building. I would only care if there was actually a real Tiger out there on the course and see how people would adapt. I don't care about that old man trying to survive out there.
That's
what it is. 23 rounds today because he only finished 13 holes. So he is trying to survive.
So he really
there's
is.
There's a bogey.
Here's the deal, too. It couldn't be worse for him because he had the late start yesterday. He only played 13 holes because of the delay in the morning. Now he's got to come back and finish 5 holes today, and then he's got to turn around and start right away for his second round. So it couldn't be worse for a guy with a bad back.
Yeah.
It couldn't.
Bad back, bad knee.
Everything.
Bad everything. Yeah, he didn't make the cut. Today is a disaster for
Tiger. He's
going to start up. This is going to be a bogey.
This looks like a bogey, yeah. 14, he's going to come out of the gate with a bogey on 14. So, man, we'll just keep you up. I know all of you love golf. And we are going to keep you updated. And good news, too. Brittany Lincecum, 2-time champion of this tournament. Well, it wasn't the Chevron.
The Masters?
Of women's champion.
Oh, we were just talking about the Masters.
Chevron.
I was going to say, she's not allowed to win. She's not allowed to win the Masters.
No, she's not allowed to. She was barely allowed to be on the grounds until recently. So, she's going to join us in just a few minutes here, about 15 minutes here on ESPN 97.5. I know all of you are very excited about a lot of golf talk this morning. It's still day one of the Masters, and it just doesn't get any bigger than this. Dell has been so excited for the last 2 days.
I have not. I didn't even know why we were out at East River 9 yesterday. I was like, oh, is there a major golf tournament? Why are we out there?
Why are we here? The Masters is starting? You watched 3 hours of it yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I opened up. It's on the Hulu app, and so I opened it up and watched. Well, I watched Tiger's round, Tiger and Max Homa and Jason Day, and I was really just watching to see if they'd show Jason Day's wife.
What is Jason Day wearing?
I don't know. That looks creepy.
That is really.
The only reason I watched is just I was hoping that they would show some Jason Day wife cam, but they didn't have that. I noticed they don't show the wives or girlfriends, the wags, unless you win.
Right.
They don't do like the NFL or basketball or sometimes baseball with Kate Upton where, you know, just in the middle of the round, let's get a shot of Kate Upton as Justin is on hole number 7. That's not the way it works.
No, not in golf. Not nearly. No. If he's coming up 18 and she's standing there, they'll get a shot of her.
Now the run to, it's always wife and little kid. Runs to daddy they win.
Finau's case, like,
and there's a weird
gaggle of kids
missed high five or kind of an awkward high five between caddy and golf.
Or the hug. They hug, Lance. So
a lot of hugs.
So why did you give up on the Astros game when it was so enthralling and go to golf yesterday?
This is a serious question. I brought it up last year, and now it's probably going to have to be addressed in season. It may be time for pitching coach to go. I mean, Hunter Brown, if these guys have flashed who they were, we've seen who Hunter Brown can be. We've seen who Christian Javier can be. Right now, this is a pathetic. With Hunter Brown's last two performances, absolutely pathetic.
You are
can't
pathetic.
Get out of, what is it, 15 earned runs in an inning and a third? I mean, what are we doing here? This is really, truly horrific. And either he's tipping his pitches, but I don't care what it is. This is a pitching coach's job to get this fixed. Because what we're seeing now, Abreu, bad right now. Too many bad pitchers. And I saw somebody make the excuse about, well, they're pitching their 8th, 9th, and 10th best pitchers. Hunter Brown is not 8, 9, 10. Hunter Brown is supposed to be the next Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
And right now, he just looks like a DFA guy.
Well, he's not, though. He's not the next. Listen, he had a really, really nice month. But Hunter Brown was he had his first month of his major league career. He was great. Made the postseason roster. Helped you win a title. His next year was bad. This year is abominable. He is pathetic right now. But how about the young pitchers, Arrigetti and Henley and Hunter Brown? This is allegedly the future of this organization.
No, this is what I was going to ask you. How bad does this scare you now? You know, I know no one wants to hear my trade Kyle Tucker talk, and it was really yesterday based on, I've said it for a couple of years now, it's based upon the idea that your minor league system really isn't considered that great, and you're going to have to replenish, or you're just basically going to be relying on them once your core leaves, unless you're willing to spend, you know, pay top dollars on the free agent market for some of the top players, which Jim Crane, up to this point, does not show a willingness to build a team like that. And it's not, frankly, it's not good business to build a team through free agency. Look at the Angels. The Angels tried that and the Padres the Padres tried it real quickly with Juan Soto, not in free agency, but they ended up dealing him. It didn't work out. Albert Pujols famously was a disaster of a contract. But Hunter Brown, we had resigned ourselves, pretty much every Astros fan, okay, this is the future.
Yep.
He's got a chance to be a one or a two, worst case scenario, a closer. These are comments that we had on a regular basis. And now what happens if he just sucks? And I don't think he sucks. Like, that's why I think there's something, either he is.
What about
like,
this him is, doesn't suck
but
right
this
now?
Is, this is, he's missing in the middle of the zone. But is there pitch tipping going on? I mean,
well, that's what the thought was after the first start. Well, but he got lit up again. I mean, in two-thirds of an inning. I mean, what do you mean? If they haven't figured that out?
No, that's what I'm at. Well, that's a pitching coach's job. They've got to find if he's tipping his pitches. If not, it's still your job to get it fixed.
Yeah.
It's still your job to work with him. And ultimately, it turns out, you know, and if the pitching coach can't fix it, it's player. It's execution, and then it goes to talent is the last thing. So this is really, really concerning when you're three of your best pitchers, young pitchers, supposed to be best young pitchers, get whipped like this. Hunter Brown is more concerning than Arrigetti. I mean, Arrigetti's just had one start.
Right.
Two good innings, one terrible one. Hunter Brown, you're right. We acted like Hunter Brown just has had a long, steady stream of good pitching and just met some misfortune last year and then this year. Hunter Brown has not been the same guy that we saw who stepped on the scene as a rookie. And he wasn't even a rookie, right? He didn't pitch enough to be considered a rookie, I don't think. His first year, did he?
He was a rookie last year.
Last year was his rookie year. Yeah. The year before that was the year he came in, and we're like, this is the next Justin Verlander. Well, we don't say that Joey Molinari is the next Nick Saban just because he can do a good imitation. That's called an imitation. Yeah. Now I realize Hunter Brown's just good at imitating Justin Verlander's. That's like batting. He's batting stance guy.
He's like Kobe and Michael.
Yeah, he's no.
Oh, that's Kobe a little is, disrespectful.
Kobe's a Hall of Famer. He's batting stance guy, only he's pitching.
Not that good.
He's pitching release
Pretty
guy.
Good.
He's just wind-up guy.
Yeah.
He just can. Have we asked him? Because there's a chance he might be able to do like the. He might be able to do Shane Bieber's. You know, can he do? Do you also do a Shane Bieber? Do you have a John Smoltz that you've worked on? Are you doing a, you know, are do you do a Blake Snell? Can you,
you
do a right-handed
like
Blake Snell? That's what I want to know, if he's batting stance guy.
Yeah.
Because we just assume he's Justin Verlander, but I never make the assumption that the next great coach is going to be Joey Molinari because he does a Nick Saban. I never make that assumption. I just say, well, that's a really good imitation.
Or Annie Agar. She does a great imitation of all of the NFL coaches.
She's terrible.
That's
a random.
And I was like,
there's only, it's got to be less than 1% of the people listening know what you're talking
about. No, she's actually pretty popular. You know who Annie Agar is?
I'm aware.
Yeah. But Dell will be. But you got to be on Twitter and you got to have a
I don't really follow her. I'm out on that bit. I don't want any part of having her come across my timeline.
It's not clever.
It's old. But, you know, she's still hot, so that's okay.
Well, you follow her?
Yeah, and I can't ever. I can't, and it, but I was watching, and then I was like,
oh, I'm going to ask you, I want you to be serious. Over and over again. You would never lie on the day of the Masters. Would you follow her if she wasn't hot?
What kind of obvious answer are you looking for?
I'm making
for?
Him say it out loud with his human mouth.
We got to go.
I don't know. I'd have to.
Will you follow her for her comedy?
I actually, at first, I was like, and then I'm,
Did you say, because she's good looking?
She's an attractive young lady.
If you didn't find her attractive, but thought she was somewhat entertaining at first, would you have followed her?
Yes, I would.
Okay. I'm going to start a new.
If I thought she was entertaining and not attractive, yes.
Oh, yeah. But, okay, let me ask you this.
But now she's just attractive.
Do you follow, not entertaining at all. Do you follow Paige Spiranak?
No.
Is that an upset? That's a bit of an upset for me, though.
Mostly because I don't know how active he is on Instagram.
She's always on my timeline.
Yeah, she's going to be more of an IG than she is.
The Paige Spiranak experience is best suited for Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't follow her on either.
Okay.
But she's always on my timeline.
Do you have a
For
gram?
Whatever reason, she's on my timeline.
Do you have a Finsta?
A what?
No, he set up an Instagram. I don't think he uses it.
Yeah. That's a Finsta.
No, it's a real.
Tell him what Finstas are.
It's something you use to maybe a part of your personality you don't actually want people to know about.
Lurk. You just lurk.
Or you lurk and you follow and stalk people.
I know.
He doesn't have one.
I don't care about that.
You're not on Instagram?
I'm not. I rarely ever get on it. Ever. Yeah.
But it's the same kind of stuff that your crazy stuff that you look at on
Twitter. Yeah, I know. I like that. But
Instagram's got that too with Reels.
So Twitter sends you.
He'd love TikTok.
No, I'm not on TikTok. Twitter sends you to Instagram a lot. There's a lot of Insta. So then I'll look through some Instagram stuff, but I'm rarely ever on it. But here's the deal. Okay, when we come back, Reggie Jackson had an explanation.
Well, we have a guest, don't we?
Pardon me?
Don't we have
when
a
we
guest?
Come back,
that's right. We got Brittany Lincecum. That's right. And then after that, stay with us. I know you guys all love golf, and especially women's golf, which is coming up next week with the Chevron Championship. After that, we're going to talk about Reggie Jackson and what he had to say. But right now, I'm talking about Dream Rate. My man, Kent. This dude, I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody that gets as geeked out. He loves mortgages. He loves to save people money. He loves to find ways to, you know, cut back on whatever expenditures that you're going to have on your mortgage. The big guys that put their name on bowl games, they're not doing it like he is. I'm just telling you, they're not giving you the kind of attention that he can, because he has a limited number of people that he will take on at one time. They've got hundreds, if not thousands, at a time. They're national. He's local. He loves, by the way, he listens to the show. He loves the show. He loves our listeners. You got to go. If you're going to get a mortgage, you want to find out about a mortgage, you wanted to ask him anything about a mortgage, how much your payments would be, whatever it is that you want to ask him. He's the ultimate mortgage hookup. He's local. He doesn't have the expenses that the other guys have. He can save you money. All you need, broker, and he's, by the way, he's a broker, and brokers are just better. People do it wrong. I did it wrong. I wish I'd have known Kent when I was buying this house. I didn't. I wish I did. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or go to 975loans.com. Tell Kent you heard it right here.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Next Wednesday, we're going to be out at the Chevron Championship, and just the best women in the world are going to be playing here, and it's going to be fun. We were there last year, had a great time, and it was their first time to be playing here in the Chevron Championship. Eight-time winner, two-time major winner, and six Solheim Cups. Brittany Lincecum is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brittany, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we appreciate it. So I got a question for you, Brittany. All right. You're in the big blind, okay? You got a pretty good stack. Three people limp in now, okay? And you got a pair of fours. Are you raising them, or you just want to see the flop?
Ooh, I don't know. I tend to try to bully people out, but, you know, sometimes that backfires. So I'd probably raise and make them think that I had something way better than what I had.
Yeah, see, I like that. Brittany, one of her hobbies is playing Texas Hold'em.
Obviously, because that's not usually the first question asked of
a golfer.
Golf champ.
You caught me by surprise. I
thought I would, but I wanted
Max
to see.
Max Homa's here with us. Max, you're sitting on 10 King in the putt, and you're sitting there at the big blind.
Well,
it's not usually the question.
I wanted to see how aggressive Brittany is. Are you as aggressive at Texas Hold'em as you are on the golf course?
And you know what? I actually think, Brittany, since we'll get to golf in a second, but let's talk cards. I actually think how you play blackjack and how you play poker says a lot about, is a real test. You can find out who people are. It's a litmus test. And she just told you she would bully.
Yep.
She would try to bully. She would raise. She'd try to represent something. My guess is you're not laying up a whole lot on par fives either in front of water.
No, sir. I've won my two majors by being aggressive and going for the green in two, and it worked out twice. So I love being aggressive.
How about this? Her first major, she eagled the par five at 18th hole to win the tournament.
What?
That's pretty aggressive. Is that your greatest moment in golf?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that hole is just super hard, and it's an island green. So if you go long, short, left, right, like, there's a lot of trouble. But par fives have always been my strong suit, and I love being aggressive on the par fives. And it was a club that I really liked, so it set up perfectly, and I just executed the shot perfectly. So it worked out great.
Man, that is some – she had some guts doing that, right? I mean, going for it on an island green – and then making the putt to win on the 72nd hole, that's awesome. What did you think about the Nicklaus course, Carlton Woods, last year?
I thought it was great. You know, obviously a lot of people had their doubts. You know, we had been in Palm Springs for so many years. So to move the event to Houston, you know, we were kind of worried, you know, how Chevron was going to kind of take it over. But honestly, it's been first class the whole way. The golf course was spectacular. It's a great golf course. It's hard. It's long. There's a lot of challenges, so it's a great golf course, and the Chevron folks have really stepped up and, you know, are really taking care of us girls. So it's really cool to see the game growing and, you know, different traditions moving forward, and it's just really cool.
Yeah, five-year deal here. Now, they changed up the course. Are you here yet or no?
No, coming tomorrow.
You're coming tomorrow. Okay, so, yeah, it is going to – it's a little bit different, especially – number eight, but they did make it a little bit more challenging for you, and they redid the greens as well, so they put a lot of work into this thing, and I know it's playing, it's just gorgeous, right? It's just perfect here right now. So you guys, you took advantage of some nice weather last year, and I think we're going to have another nice week this week. And 18 is a lot like that the hole you won on, in that a lot of risk reward there too, no?
It is, absolutely. You know, it's a fun hole. It's a little less scary, but a longer club in. So I guess it kind of equals itself back out. But it's a great finishing hole. And, you know, anything can happen on 18, which I absolutely love. I love, you know, some girls will be able to go for it. Some are going to have to make birdie the old-fashioned way and lay up. But, you know, it's anybody's game coming into that last hole.
Brittany Lincecum with us. 8-time winner on the LPGA Tour, 2-time major winner. And this is the first one. I mean, it's the same. You won the ANA, you won the Nabisco, but this is the same one with the Chevron name on it. We got our first major going on the PGA Tour as well. Do you guys keep an eye on the Masters?
Oh, absolutely. My picks are not doing too well as of yesterday, but maybe today they'll turn it around.
You've been out there for a little while on the LPGA Tour since 07 or so, right? Was that your debut, 07?
2005, yep.
2005. How much has it changed, and what's better about the tour right now?
Oh, gosh. It's definitely going in the right direction, and I love seeing it growing. And, you know, when I first started, we had way less tournaments. We were playing for way less money, and now especially our majors are really stepping up and supporting women's golf, which is great to see. And obviously we still need some of the smaller ones to kind of step it up. But I mean, just all in all, 20 years out there and have seen, you know, different commissioners and different strategies and just growing the game with more, you know, TV time and media coverage, and everything is going in the right direction. It's a great time for the LPGA. There's so many great players. Obviously Nelly Korda is absolutely crushing it right now. which is great for American golf. So it's just a good time to be a part of the LPGA.
Yeah, it just seemed like just a couple of years ago there was the LPGA was in a little bit of danger, and now it seems like you guys are flourishing more.
Oh, yeah. And again, I think, you know, Nelly, American player, lets people want to see American players doing well. And, you know, she's doing that for us right now. She's kind of becoming our Tiger, which is what we need, somebody to dominate and kind of be the face. And she's definitely taking that role on, which is awesome.
Women are getting hot right now. What, with Caitlin Clark, you know, all that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys are on a roll.
Well, new there's new leagues. I just saw a new rugby league is popping up.
Oh, wow.
WNBA sales are, yeah, it is.
Women are having,
as they'd say, as BuzzFeed might say, women are having a moment right
now. Yeah, right
now. Sports, for sure.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
and it's
well earned.
Yeah.
And I love that because last week we were in Vegas, so I watched, you know, Caitlin Clark out there, and just watching all these men cheer for women's basketball was something I haven't really experienced. I don't watch too much basketball, but my caddy was invested and loves basketball, so we watched it, and it was just cool to see how many viewers and how many people were cheering for all of them. And it's just a cool time to be in women's sports.
Absolutely. So did you bet on her? Because
I didn't, because I wasn't too sure. You know, I'm so bad. I don't really watch basketball, so I wasn't sure, but it's just cool that I started Googling her and seeing, you know, stuff on social media and just seeing what she has accomplished. And it's pretty amazing.
Well, see, that tells you a little something about Brittany too. We bet on a lot of stuff we don't know anything about, right?
Yeah,
a lot
exactly.
Of stuff. No, that, we do that all
I
the time.
I just want to have action.
Yeah, that's all. But you would have been right if you took South Carolina in that one. But she was just amazing. Now, listen, I hope everybody, y'all get out there because they can just flat out play. I was amazed last year. I haven't seen much in-person women's golf, but I was out there. I was just one of the starters last year, Brittany. Y'all can hit it. I'm telling you. Are you
Thank
one of the
you.
Longer ones out there still or no?
I'm pretty good. I used to be the longest, which was kind of cool to hold that title for a few years. But two kids later, 38, I'm getting a little old. But I can still hit it out there. So I hit it far enough to compete, and that's all you need.
Yeah. How much I'm not putting a limit on you, but how much longer you think you're going to be out there?
That's like the million-dollar question, I feel like. Not sure. I mean, obviously, traveling with two kids is not easy. You know, we're obviously loading everybody up tomorrow, coming on out, and each flight that I go on with my one-year-old, it's like disaster. Something happens, you know. So it's definitely taking its toll. But I mean, I just love the game so much that I'm going to push it as long as possible. We have great daycare on tour. My mom and dad travel with me every week when I bring the girls out. So everybody makes it super helpful and is super, you know, helpful with me wanting to do my job and still playing on the LPGA. So I'm definitely going to push it as long as I possibly can just because I love the game so much.
That's got to be great. We hear all these ball players. We just saw Holiday come up, and he was in the locker room with his dad. His dad, Matt Holiday, played. Jackson Holiday just came up for the Orioles. It must be good for your girls to be seeing the women out there, you know, competing and the competition at the highest level.
Oh, absolutely. That's definitely my number one goal, is just to get them out there and show them this wonderful game. Golf is just a great game, whether they play high school, college, or just you're in life. You know, so many people entertain clients on the golf course. There's no reason why women can't get in on that. So I just want them to be able to play, you know, recreationally, maybe with their dad and I. It's just a wonderful game, teaches a lot of great lessons, and it's cool that it's a kind of a family thing.
Yeah, you girl dads out there, bring your daughter out there to see them play next week. At Carlton Woods, the Nicholas course, just beautiful too, by the way. It's a great, great atmosphere. All right, before you go, one of your other hobbies, what's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
Probably one of my Goliath groupers, but I can't take it out of the water to actually weigh it. I don't even know how you would, because it's so big, but I was told it was around 300 pounds, but I want to catch Moby Dick, and my husband wants to catch dinner, so we're kind of a little bit torn when we go fishing.
You're a competitor.
What? 300 pounds?
As if we didn't know, everything is competitive here. Everything has a competitive tilt to it.
Yes. Wait a minute. 300. How'd you reel in 300?
I think it took like 2 hours because I had the wrong pole with the wrong line, and I don't even know how. I just was determined to kind of take my time and not, you know, tighten the reel or do anything crazy and just kind of wore the fish out, I think.
We are going to be rooting for you next week, Brittany. Congratulations. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And good luck at the Chevron next week.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Yep. I'll be out there. We'll be out there. Okay. We'll be out there Wednesday for sure. And then I think I'll be out there as well on the weekend. So good stuff. Good, great stuff. Appreciate you. Brittany Lincecum, Texas Hold'em player, fisherwoman. Okay. Women are hot right now. Okay. They're on fire. Women are doing some things, right? Doing good things right now out there in the sports world. I don't know. Dell is not an ally. Okay.
Why am I not an ally?
You're just not an ally. You don't care.
I do care.
Okay.
What do you mean I don't care?
It's great for the sporting world to have the Chevron here next week, okay?
It's great for the city, and it's great for the sports world. It's just not my bag. Well, I don't care about the Masters, so it's just not my bag.
Let
it's Dale okay.
have a bag.
No, he can't.
Get in the bag.
I mean, the golf bag.
I know though. It's Masters time, and that gets you excited.
Get in the golf bag.
It's just not my thing.
That's beautiful.
It just isn't my thing, John.
By the way, did you hear? Did you get to hear any of Chris Vernon's Masters update?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we got it. Some of it is edited together, so you'll kind of skip. But he's in the middle of Tiger hasn't teed off yet.
Oh, okay.
When he does his update because of what time he's on, but it's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, some of it is visual too. He's got his green jacket on, his putter.
He's got all kinds
sunglasses.
Of
he's got a. He's got the stuffed animals, the people dressed as dancing behind him. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the whole nine.
Yeah. We'll do that a little bit later in the show, but when we come back, we'll hear from Reggie Jackson on why the Astros don't have Blake Snell. We'll do that. No, why are we? That's Tiger. That's not Tiger. He does that for Tiger.
No, it's the remix.
That's the remix.
Hey, local leaders in the PVF supply industry, I know them. TPC Industrial. Those are my guys, Houston Glover and Archie Lopez. If you're in this business, the PVF business, you need pipes or valves or fittings and flanges. If you've got big jobs that you're on and you can't suddenly find these things, forged steel couplings, hoses, you need all this stuff. Well, they've got it, and they'll deliver it to you. And they're right here, Mount Bellevue, okay? Get right on I-10. It doesn't matter what state you're in. You could be listening to this on the app in some other state, and you need this stuff, and they'll get it to you. And you're probably sitting there like, yes, this is exactly what I need, John. Well, if this is what you need supplies on time. Trust TPC with the PVF needs. 346-226-3866. You can go online at TPCINDL.com. That's TPCINDL, TPC Industrial, TPCINDL.com. These guys are great. You'll love them. You'll love doing business with them, and they'll take care of business. They'll get it to you on time. It's happening every day. TPCINDL.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:33, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John, Lance, and Dell. So Reggie Jackson, when asked, who was it that asked the? Do you know who was it, Dell? Who asked the question? So we can give him some credit. We never do that.
Anyway. Well, so all of a sudden now we're doing that? We want
to
have some professional standards now?
Questions?
Yeah, I mean,
why?
Was it John Hyman?
It was from, I think it's Heyman, not Hyman. But I think it's from his Twitter. I'll pull up who asked the question. But as you said, Reggie probably said some things people aren't going to be happy with. He included a lot of people, a couple of people you don't want, at least according to Lance, you don't want involved in decisions for the Astros. John Heyman, and he was the guy who asked the question, yes. Right. Oh, now you want me to play it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, I was looking for the name, and now I have to pull up the sound. Sorry, so give me a second.
Gosh. Well, you're the one that introduced it.
No, you introduced it.
Okay. Here is Reggie Jackson with John Heyman, whatever.
John Heyman.
Uh-huh. Was it yesterday? See the date on it.
Yes, it was. I'm trying. Stupid computer. Yes, it was yesterday. He sat down, part of, I guess, his John Heyman's podcast. And Reggie Jackson had some answers to a couple questions regarding Blake Snell and maybe Alex Bregman going forward.
You know, we have a great leadership group in our with our GM. Also, we have a couple of other advisors in Craig Biggio and Jeff Bagwell, who are very much involved in our decision making. I'm involved. Jim takes those decisions and puts them together, listens to our management and coaching staff on the field, talks to our GM and his staff. And then, of course, some of the analytics come into the future of a player, and our decisions are made that way, along with being fiscally responsible. Being fiscally responsible, I think, is what kicked us out of the Snell deal. He signed a 2-year deal, I want to say, for 62. That's too much for him. He's been hurt a couple of times. And I think there's incentives on top of that. He's also got an option on his own. And between the 4 or 5 people that make the decisions with the Astros, we don't play that game.
Jesus. Okay. First thing I take away is if you thought, I know you argued, man, well, what about when these guys are gone? Jim's going to spend. Jim ain't spending if he thinks it's dumb money. He's just not. He's not going to spend dumb money, which means he'll be out on the top players. Because unfortunately, top free agents require top dollars. That's just the way it works. And so if he thinks it's dumb money, then, I mean, we're talking about a 2-year deal for a guy who just won a Cy Young Award. And he wouldn't do a 2-year deal at 31 apiece.
Well, they're already at max, and as far as they're already over one threshold. I mean, I don't know. Are you just don't care about the draft picks? You don't care. And listen, once you get over the next threshold, you got to double the payment.
I do care about pretty much. I do care about draft picks. That's why I want. That's why I want. And I care about rebuilding. That's why I'm open to. That's why.
Well, if
Jim
you
Crane
hit that other threshold, you're not getting any compensation. You lose.
Well, why some of your players should be available for trade this year. Unfortunately, because the way this season is looking right now, unless everybody comes back fully healthy who's injured and they pitch at a really high level, you're going to be facing some problems. And this includes Abreu has not gotten it together. We got to see Hader pitch like he's capable of pitching. Ryan Pressly. I mean, that big three was supposed to be Lidge, Dotel, and Billy Wagner. And we're early. But it's far short of that early, or so far early in the season. We're about 10.
And it's too early to give up.
By the way, we're
about
10,
trading everybody away.
We're about 10%. Yeah. I'm talking about as the season progresses. If this looks like a 2000 season, where it's like this is just a lost season, I think Jim Crane is going to have to pivot because Reggie Jackson just told you he's not going to do anything that he thinks is fiscally irresponsible because they don't play that. Reggie just told you we don't play that. If they think a deal, and we know that from what he offered Carlos Correa, the proof is in the pudding. Jim Crane is not going to offer top dollars. He's not going to offer market value to a player who's not his, and maybe to even guys who are there. But the big one that you wanted to stir the pot with me is that he said, you know, there's 5 decision makers. Bagwell, Biggio, Reggie Jackson, Dana Brown, and Jim Crane. There should be 2 decision makers. Jim Crane and Dana Brown. And the fact that this is going on, 2 of the all-time great Astros, Hall of Famers, love them both, great players, grew up with both of them, Bagwell and Biggio, don't care about Reggie Jackson from a historic, you know, I do from a historical standpoint. I don't from my childhood and adolescence and high school and all that, but into, you know, adulthood. But these guys should not be making any decisions. They didn't come up like... If they were great, you don't have to have spent your whole life in baseball, in a managerial, you know, in a front office to be able to recognize talent and all that. But the Jeff Bagwell, the 2 moves, Abreu that he was highly involved in, that we know of, at least 2 of them that we know of, which is Montero, dumb contract at the time we said that, and then Abreu, older player, it's just, I mean, how's Jim Crane, who's so smart, how's Jim Crane, who's so smart, who understands the economics and they got away from analytics. Reggie's like, oh, sometime we may consider some analytics. Like, this team was built into a dynasty that we haven't, that Major League Baseball hadn't seen for a long time. And I just don't understand getting away from the good people and the smart people and the way it was done, because you want to regress to literally the opposite of Moneyball. You're literally having old players come in and like, what do you think there? What do you think, Jeff? What do you think the contract should be? This is literally the opposite of Moneyball and smart, intelligent baseball. It's asking old baseball players what their thoughts are on contracts and players. It's like, dude, there's a reason that GMs in the NFL don't love for some. A lot of coaches don't know what they're doing in evaluations. I've encountered this when I talk to coaches about players. There's an offensive line coach for a team that I won't mention, and he's terrible. Like, he's just terrible at some of the evaluations. And his team flopped because they drafted a guy like 9 years ago in the second round who sucked, and I knew he sucked. And he was a big reason that guy got picked, and it happened two other times. And I'm just like, you know, a lot of players can't coach. A lot of coaches can't evaluate. Why are they having these guys in such an important role and having so much juice? It'd be one thing if Jim Crane was like, yeah, no, I want to know what you guys think. And then behind the scenes, told Dana, I just think it's great that I just want to have him as part of the organization. It's great to have him behind home plate. You know, I value having him. I just wish they didn't actually have that real-time juice with them, because Reggie thinks they got a lot of juice.
I got this text. Duck John Lance is about to throw a shoe. You think, Dell, at any point?
I haven't gotten close to shoe throwing yet, but it is
starting.
It doesn't make sense that this is a smart owner.
It's bubbling.
That volcano is, I can.
Yeah, it's starting to bubble.
If you ask the public who's a better owner.
Do you have that volcano thing
ready? For this?
I can find
you ready
one.
For this to show you where it is right now?
When he said Biggio, when Reggie Jackson said
Biggio. His face and his hands.
I think we got another one in? Okay, let me ask you this. Remember when Jeff Bagwell was a hitting coach for about 2 months for the Astros, and then he's like, ah, never mind. And they keep trying to jackhammer Jeff Bagwell into the organization for years. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, who is the public like more, Jim Crane or Cal McNair?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I think it's just power.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know.
The earth
it would
is
feel
shifting.
Insane. Yeah, it's shifting. It should never shift. I mean, the better owner is Jim Crane by far. Jim Crane
the greatest
was a
owner
wartime
ever
owner who helped you turn the corner. He's the greatest owner the Astros have ever had, without question.
The city's ever had.
But it's also puzzling that he got away from successful people en masse. I mean, can't keep Strami because, from what I understand, I don't know if the money was too high or. I don't know. Brent Strom still wanted a coach, obviously.
Strom got his team to the World Series last year.
I just don't understand get away from good people.
Yeah, but what are those Diamondback arms going to look like in 3 years when they're all falling off like the Astros are now?
Oh, see, you're blaming
the
Strom
butcher.
Again.
He's not the butcher. Brent the Butcher Stromy.
Do you want the same thing that you got from Alperen Şengün people?
I don't think it's the same.
The Strami people were going to come after you.
Well, as long as the social team doesn't cut it up, I think I'll be okay.
Okay.
Brent the Butcher Strom.
What country is Strami from? We don't even know.
I think it's an American.
Okay. Yeah. Are you sure?
Do you want all of America against you?
Are all of America going to be after you?
Look at me. They've been against me since
birth. I miss Brent
America's
Strom.
Always against me.
I miss Strom.
You should.
I think we all miss Brent Strom.
I mean...
Won a title without him. Thank you.
Thank you. Just think. Cal
the law firm won a title. I'm not sure you know that.
Augie Strom is what we're calling him. Wayne Strom Graham.
Golly,
the
this is a direct
is
message.
Ugly.
I want you to take this in now. Crane is morphing into Jerry Jones.
Ooh.
Is what somebody just told me a direct message with the medley. The difference is Jerry would spin stupid for a long time. He did dumb stuff. He won't. Well, I mean, okay. There's been a couple of dumb things done with the Astros, but I don't know that I would say he's – Jerry is a win-at-all-cost guy who is kind of a maniac who's now pulled back, and they're actually pretty fiscally responsible, the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys actually operate like a more conservative team, but getting involved a lot, yes.
Well, that's
that
because
does,
they've had to. They don't have any money.
Well,
they're all maxed out.
Yeah, because they have
out.
Overspent. But yeah, Jim Crane is – But his draft picks have been pretty good. He and Steven. Jim Crane is much more active with the hands-on decision. And I don't know how good Dana Brown is.
This is a pretty good point by Dustin. It's not puzzling why Crane adjusted his strategy. His brand got smeared, and it's still being smeared because of the last regime.
Yeah, but then that's ego.
No, it's not. It's immediately Luno was fired. Immediately.
His brand got smeared.
And Hinch.
And yet his brand thrived. His brand was only 3 years old at that time. Four years old at that time.
Well, 17, I know, 18, but it 19. Was a huge embarrassment for the organization.
There's no question. But his brand has actually been built also. There was only 3 years there. His brand has actually been built on not so much 20, but 21, 22, and 23.
Yeah.
And that's post-Luno, but it's also guys Luno brought in. I mean, I think that's ego. I think it's ego. I get why he fired him. I don't have an issue with that. But, I mean, Billy Martin came back to the Yankees a lot of times.
a lot of times. So he ain't George Steinbrenner.
Is Joe Espada Dave Campbell or Jason Garrett?
Yeah, right now he's got some Campo vibes to him. In terms of how they'll treat him, I don't think it's
14
fair to
say. Games in.
So
he's got crap to throw out there. Aaron Geddy.
I'm just
Henley.
Comparing.
It's true, but
like Hinch was Jimmy Johnson. Dusty was Barry Switzer, question, but actually did win a Super Bowl. And then Joe Espada's Dave Campo?
Because Campo didn't last long. Oh, could you see Espada? I'm just asking you this. I know we're early, but could you see him getting the axe earlier than expected?
No.
Espada. You think he'll stick 3 years with Espada?
Ooh, I don't know about 3 years, but yeah. I think he's going to have this year.
A 2 year stint's not long.
And two. Yeah, that I don't know.
Could he be fired after 1 year? I say yes, and that's Campo-ish.
It's not his fault.
Campo got 3 years.
You can't blame him for this. We got to break it here. We got to talk right now about Doc. We got to talk about hair. You know, he doesn't have any. Maybe he could use Doc Linville, Joe Espada. There's a lot of things he could use. He could use starting pitching and Doc Linville. Okay? So here's the deal. Do you need Doc Linville? Are you follically challenged? If you have a receding hairline, if you have a bald spot, if you are somebody that is, if you're too young, okay, to be out there being bald, okay, Doc Linville is here for you, but catch it in time. And oh, by the way, he can stimulate your own growth. This is what is happening every single day. It's not just the neografting, the PRP as well, which stimulates the growth of your own hair. Now, the neografting moves the hair from the side to the top. It's awesome. The procedure is awesome. Yeah, I did. I've done them both and love what the doc has done. You're looking for the best way to get hair. There's only one way to go. My man, Doc Linville. Painless. He's got an anesthetic the last 3 days. It's perfect. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You sound like that fan. So I was at the hockey game the other night, and one guy was yelling at my cousin. He's a Sabres head. For those of you who don't know, my cousin is the Sabres head coach. And we went to the game and sitting right behind the bench. And the guy was like, "Hey, Granato, you stink. Go do something. Go do something." And I was like, what exactly is the coach supposed to do? What's he supposed to do?
Change those lines. Move a right winger around. Drop a center down to the second line.
He was doing all those things.
Do it again. Do more.
Do what? The power play was over and the Buffalo didn't score. Nice job, Granato. You're terrible.
Get a different.
He didn't score a goal there.
Put a guy in front of the net.
He didn't. What? There was.
Get
guys.
A couple more deflections.
There were guys in front of the net. There were a lot of guys.
Make sure your guys get shots on goal. Something. I don't know. Do it.
It just seemed like he was doing everything he could.
Not enough.
Apparently not. It wasn't near enough. But I just like, what exactly do you want him to do? And Lance just came in. Come on, Crane. Get off your ass and let's do something. What do you
like
want
what?
Jim Crane
At
to
this,
do?
Well,
he put. He's got five starters that would be one, two, or three starters on every other team. He's got five guys on the IL. Five starters.
There's not much Crane can do.
There's not much anybody could do.
Yeah, his
when you're starting Blair Henley.
Yeah, his job will be this in the offseason. I mean, we could have seen more than one major league arm added to the bullpen. Hader is a big arm, but that bullpen we should have known would be a problem.
I think Martinez is okay.
Mashunsky.
Taylor Scott's
pitching far more than he should.
Taylor Scott, you're dependent on him way more than you do. But listen, when your starters go in a week, a third of an inning, three innings, and two-thirds of an inning, you got four innings and 21 earned runs out of three starters in a week.
Is that bad?
Goodness gracious. What is Joe Espada going to do?
Oh, I'm not blaming Dave Campo.
Or Jim Crane or anybody when you're getting that kind of crap.
I'm not blaming Campo for that. I mean,
he's not. Stop calling him Campo.
If we're calling Jim Crane Jerry Jones, I'm just making the comps. And Campo was next in line after Switzer. So if Dusty is our Switzer, then Espada is our Campo.
I mean, what are you talking about? Nope. Stop saying that. He's going to win big, too. Mm. And then you're going to regret that Campo crap.
Nah, I won't remember it.
Eight straight
ALCS, as you're predicting?
Yep.
How many pitchers are we going to have back? Is the entire rotation going to be healthy?
They're all coming back. And watch the run they go on. Mm. Lance has already given up on the season.
He's given up on the show. He's out the door.
He just said, okay, I got to go. Either that or snacks.
Apparently no one care. He doesn't care that there's an actual job to do, apparently.
Apparently not.
So we've got the pitching issues, but we also have the runners in scoring position issues. Is that going to change, too?
Well, that'll never change.
Oh, okay. Then there's still a big problem.
I think it's Victor Caratini time, if you want. Yep. Victor Caratini. We don't need a backup catcher. Victor, get out there. Play first base. Go. I mean, this John Singleton thing, holy...
They don't have a major league first baseman on the roster.
We don't have a major league first baseman.
That's so sad.
You can't play... You can play Abreu once every 3 days. That's all you... Oh, it's all so sad.
It's just his timing, John. He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the word from Dana Brown and Jose Abreu. He talked about it, I think, yesterday. Brown and Abreu both talking about... The timing's just off. Once he figures that out, he'll be fine.
He's going to figure it out. Yeah, he's definitely going to figure it out. What about this Randy McAvoy thing?
Well, I question what's going on at a certain news outlet that they would let Randy McAvoy get the exclusive with the McNairs.
Was it an exclusive, really?
Did anyone else get the sit down?
Well, he was in their studio. So.
Well, it could have been at someone else's studio if they would have secured that,
Hannah?
And Cal, they're sitting next to each other.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah. So, what did they say anything?
Well, they talked about how excited the family was and the people in the city were for when the Diggs trade was announced. And Cal says they're embracing expectations. I don't have to say it. Let's hear from the very eloquent Hannah and Cal McNair.
Our boys, when they heard the Stephon Diggs news, were screaming around the house. And then their friends said their teacher stopped class to tell everyone. So... there's quite a buzz amongst the younger generation about the guys that we brought in. So that's exciting.
And we embrace the expectations. That's where we want to be. And at the same time, it's about building the team and the team being coached and working hard. It's the day-to-day things that are going to get us where we want to get to. But we've got to stay focused on, you know, and work hard every day to bring about where we want to go.
And we want to win now.
Okay. Don't do that anymore.
Why? It's not appropriate anymore?
It's not appropriate.
Because they're winning football
Hannah's
games?
There.
Oh, because Hannah's there.
I wish you'd stop doing that.
Well, you shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have done it. I know the Texans are good, so you think all of your misdeeds can't be brought out again?
I don't know that anyone's rebranded as well as Cal. I don't know that we've ever seen a rebrand.
And we're very soft on this. Cal... throws up the H, flips a couple burgers,
that's all we need him to do.
Well, because he's
not an unlikable guy, though. See, that's the thing, is because he doesn't really do a whole lot, he's never really been unlikable. Not from a personality standpoint. What does he do that's unlikable? Is he mean to people? Does he say mean things to people? Cal is a guy who seems like a nice enough guy. I actually know somebody who's become friends with him and says he's a great guy, really nice guy. Like,
yeah,
not, you know, he's a good guy. Not somebody you hang out with all the time.
What do you mean?
And is your best? Well, you just may not be best friends with them.
Mm. You don't think Cal has a best friend?
I don't know that they talk about. Oh.
He's got to have a best friend.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure he does. I don't know.
I don't know how you went from complimenting him to now insulting him.
Well, I don't know.
He's not a guy you want to hang out with a lot.
Well, but there's no reason to dislike him other than how he let the snakes run his team.
You think, like, he wears you down with all the niceties and it's like, oh, okay,
well,
come on.
Well, maybe wears
nice
you down
guy,
with
guy, yeah, but I don't know about hanging out.
No.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to dislike him.
No.
So when he flips burgers, throws up the H, and you win, it's like, okay. I'm not like he's throwing up the H, flipping burgers, whatever
fine.
You want to say. You know what else
you know
he
what?
Did?
He was a little
he
bit
hired...
unlikable before when he was screwing up the team. That was unlikable.
He wasn't screwing them
up.
He had
David
guys
Culley
who were
and Lovie
screwing...
Smith.
He had guys who were screwing him up. He didn't screw it up. Well, he did because he couldn't. He wasn't strong enough to get rid of the snakes and recognize the snakes. And frankly, he's really the type of owner you want when things are going good. And you need to have Hannah McNair there, frankly, doing what she does.
They're doing their whole press run, as you might imagine, leading up to the draft and the unveiling of the uniform. So they're out and about. But Cal had a quote yesterday that I could not believe. He was talking about how the planning, like he was just this major chess piece guy. He was just moving things around and make sure they were set up.
Who said this?
Cal. He was talking about how this was all the plans. Like the plan, years in the making. Years in the making to hire David Culley and Lovie Smith. That was the plan?
Well, I don't think that's... I think he's referring to how the team has been rebuilt with Nick Caserio.
Years in the making. Well, the team was rebuilt.
I don't think the David Culley hire was part of the plan.
He said
it
was part of a plan. And then clearly it was not a good one, so they had to go to Lovie Smith. Cal, just...
By the way, Lovie was not the plan.
We know, until Brian Flores was going to sue, or did sue for racism. Then they had
that's
to
100%
pivot.
True.
They had to pivot.
I had it verified. That's 1,000,000% true on my mama and on my baby mama.
I wish...
Known as my wife.
Your baby mama. Okay, yes, your wife.
True wife. All right, 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Glad you clarified your baby mama.
I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
Don't you have enough?
Yeah, you've got plenty. You got too many. Yeah.
She's my baby's mama.
Baby's mama, yeah. Oh, well, your babies are getting bigger now, okay? Here's the deal right now, I'm telling you. It's the weekend is here. How about Saturday? Get on over to Chastain Ford, okay? Because you need that oil change. You need to get your car tuned up, looked at. You need all of this stuff. Well, you need Chastain Ford because they are great at this stuff. They got an oil change and tire rotation. On Saturdays, you get $20 off the Works oil change. Okay, so get there tomorrow. 6 quarts of Motorcraft synthetic blended motor oil. The tire rotation, gas engines only, taxes and disposal are not included. So you're going to get $20 off of a $79.95 deal. You need to do this every 5,000 miles. Chastain Ford, this is there for you service-wise. It is where you need to go to get your Ford on, to get your pre-owned vehicle on, to get your service done. It's where you need to go when you need a vehicle. It is my favorite. I mean, my favorite dealership. Love what Patrick and his sister and brother-in-law and everybody over there do. They're fantastic at getting you in your car at the right price with no add-ons, no markups. They're just going to do it. They're going to do this every single time. So if you're in the market for a Ford car, truck, or take a look at the pre-owned vehicles, ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.